You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you will, turn with me to Romans 1. I want to read a couple of verses out of Romans, and then we'll go to, goodness, several other verses if we have time. Romans 1, which this treatise on our freedom, Declaration of Independence, it's just, in a short version, Galatians is like Romans in that respect, that we're saved by faith, we're saved by grace. Awesome, awesome. But he starts out in the first chapter, first verse, and he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Everybody say separated. I think that is significant. That's not what I'm teaching on. But once you're saved and you become a Christian, you have been separated. You, for all intents and purposes, you've been separated to the gospel, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, or just what we call a layman or a lay person. You're not your own anymore. You've been set apart. You've been separated. And he had been separated, obviously, for a purpose and a call. He says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. I'm reading New King James. King James says basically the same thing. I think the most translations do. I think the New Living Translation says it a little differently here. But it says concerning his Son, the really in the Greek, the basic spirit of this is that he was born according to the flesh. He was born of the seed of David, the lineage of David, the line of David. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So it's like he was born in the earth, and according to the flesh he was something. But he was born again, incidentally, when you think about it. He was born again when he rose from the dead. By the resurrection of the dead, he's something else. So you're something being born in the earth, but you're something else when you're born again. And you may be of the seed of David, as Jesus was of the seed of David, according to the flesh, but he was the Son of God according to the Spirit. Are you out there? And so, you know, in life, you know, you make these determinations, we all do, of what we believe to be true. We make these judgments and so on and so forth. What we are, well, what we are in the flesh is not what we are in the Spirit.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And we may know what we are in the flesh, but do we know what we are in the Spirit? We may know what we are according to the flesh, but do we know what we are according to the Spirit? Well, obviously, you're going to have God's word on the matter to know, you know, what you are according to the Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Here's one that you will know right off the bat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we quote this one. It's out of 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul goes on and says this in the 16th verse. Listen to this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Wow, that's something. Because, you know, I think we do regard a lot of people according to the flesh. We look at their social standing. We look at their race, their color. We look at their education. Are you with me? We tend to do that. I mean, are you out there? Okay. But Paul's saying, therefore, now, from now on, we don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Man, I like that. Because he was talking to people that had known Jesus. He's living in a time period where there are people that had walked with him and talked with him. People that knew his family. And so they had known Jesus that way. But if that's all he is, then we've missed the point, and we're sure not seeing as we should see. We're not perceiving as we should perceive. And we're not judging righteously, as it were. So how do we see right? How do we judge righteously? How do we perceive correctly? Well, we're not going to perceive correctly and judge righteously if we're going to judge everything according to the flesh. I think that's a pretty good point that Paul makes over and over, and Scripture makes very plainly. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen? And he leads up to something here. He says, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Now listen to this. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you see yourself that way? Good question. Do you see yourself according to the Spirit, or do you see yourself according to the flesh? You know, I'm a Williams. I'm a man. I'm a Caucasian of the white race. We'll go through a whole list of things in the natural that I am. If that's the way I see myself and that's the only way I perceive myself, well, I tell you what, that's a very limited judgment on myself. And probably in the scope of the Bible and eternity, it's not just limited, it's incorrect. Because I'm more than a man. And I'm more than a Williams. And I'm more than an American. And I'm more than a Caucasian. Are you with me? I'm in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm more than the sum of all my actions up to this point. I'm more than the things that have been said about me all my life. I'm more than my upbringing. I'm more than my race. Hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Woo! Now, he's talking about the inside. He's not talking about everything that happens to us. Because the day after I got saved, I had to take the garbage out just like the day before I got saved. The day after I got saved, I still was the same height and still looked the same in the mirror. Probably smiled a little more. But basically looked the same as I did the day before I got saved. So nothing really changed there. My name didn't change in the natural. My job didn't change. My height didn't change. My weight didn't change. You know, nothing changed the day after I got saved in the natural. But he says it all changed. Yeah. So what's he talking about? What's on the inside here changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things on the inside passed away. That old lost Michael died and is gone. Now I got a new saved Michael inside here. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. See, that's what's, and all things are of God. Inside, not everything that happens in life and everything that happened to me the day after I got saved. And nothing was God before I got saved and everything was God after I got saved. No, no, no. What happened inside of me was God because nothing was God on the inside of me until I got saved and everything was God on the inside after I got saved. And this whole saved thing is a God thing.
Man,
that's right. Man. Yeah. Think about that a while. So I'm a new creature, new creation. I should see myself differently. We should see each other differently. We should actually see the world differently. In fact, while we're in 2 Corinthians, here, just go back to the 4th chapter. Notice what it says in the 4th chapter, the 18th verse. While we do not look at the things which are seen. But in that case, that's exactly what we do. We do look at the things that are seen. And we get all upset and out of whack, you know, and all frustrated and in doubt and unbelief and lose our peace and our sanity because we're looking at the things that are seen. Yeah. Hello. But he says here, he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. I think that's so good and so profound because anything you see is subject to change. Anything you feel is subject to change. Anything going on in this world, you can write it down. It's subject to change. It's temporary. It's temporal. It's mortal, as it were. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. You can overcome things that you see with things that are unseen, with what God says, as it were. You can overcome those old feelings that you had, those old thoughts that you had, that old man. You can put on the new man, the eternal, made in the image of God, created in His likeness. You can overcome the temporary, the temporal, but you got to look different. You got to see different. You can't see according to the flesh. Well, that's just the way I am. I'm just a Williams, and you know we Williams, we this and we that. Well, no, wait a minute, slow down. I thought you got born again. I thought you were a Christian now. Amen? See, now you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now you have the power of God on your side. Now you're more than a conqueror through Him. Now greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. Now you got the victory. Now He always calls you to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. See, but you got to see yourself that way. And of course, we're products, no question. We are products of things that we've heard, things we've been told. Hello. Things that we've been associated with, our upbringing, as it were. We perceive things according to thoughts, words, and deeds. Let's just put it that way, simply. And what you have to question is how you perceive something. We're talking about how to think, how to look. We're not talking about what you're seeing. We're talking about how you perceive what you see, how you look at what you see. I see you, you see you, you look in the mirror, you're there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how you see yourself, though. You know, everything I know, somebody told me. Hello?
Was it Brenda?
Yeah, mostly Brenda. But everything I know, somebody told me. They told me through words. They told me through images, through pictures, through deeds, through association, through books I've read, sermons I've heard. Hello? And if one thing I do know, traditions, you know, and so on and so forth, hearing, seeing, observation, reading, association, upbringing, all these things. One thing I do know, that everything I've heard and seen and everything I've experienced in life hasn't always been correct. That there's a possibility, we'd have to all admit, that I could have been misinformed. That some people, not us, I know it, not us, but some people have been known to be wrong from time to time. Is that a possibility? Of course that's a possibility. So when we have judgments that we make about things, our judgments can be good or bad. I mean, they can be wrong or right. Our judgments about things and people can be righteous or unrighteous. That's why Jesus said, judge righteously. Now, are we judging righteously ourselves? Are we judging our situation righteously? Are we judging our future righteously? Do we really have the right perception here? Are we seeing this correctly? Or are we seeing it just through the flesh? Now, according to flesh, Jesus was one thing according to flesh, and that's undeniable. We know that. It says He was of the line of David according to the flesh. But according to the Spirit, He was the Son of God. Hallelujah. So we know some things, yeah, in the natural, but that's not the whole story. That's not the whole picture. And especially in life, when we go through situations and all we have is the natural facts, ooh, we don't have all the information we need. We actually need to, examine the glasses we have on. We need to examine the filter we use to take in information. How we see things. How we filter things. We need a filter. We got gas filters. We got water filters. We got air filters. They're good. You know, filters good. They prohibit. They stop. They keep poisonous, harmful things from coming in. You need to change the air filter in your air conditioner from time to time. Are you with me? You need to make sure your gas filter is working good. You can just ruin that engine if that filter gets clogged up, messed up, or doesn't work, or you take it out. And you need a water filter if you drink water in Wills Point, Texas. But filters have a, you know, filters don't allow everything to come in. Filters are selective about what gets through. Well, there's, you know, you hear words all the time. You see things all the time. You're associated with people all the time. But what we need a word filter, don't we? A thought filter, a deed filter. Something that we could have that would filter out a lot of stuff that comes in. I mean, because we're hearing stuff all the time. I don't know about you, but I hear stuff all day long. The whole time I'm awake, I'm hearing things. And thoughts come. I just had another one just then. You know, commercial. We're thinking all the time. We're hearing things all the time. We're seeing things all the time. So what is it? What do we accept as being true? What do we accept as being useful or, you know, how we accept things is determined by the filter that we use. You know, you talk to politically, you know, in our country, you have two parties that have huge philosophical differences. No matter where you stand on this, this is the fact. One party believes that in their very premise, their very foundation, they believe that the way to fix this country is totally opposite of what the other party believes is the way to fix this country. So you've got this impasse here of people wanting to do good, maybe on both sides, but they're filtering all this information with two entirely different filters. Hello? They actually believe in, you know, Keynesian economics. You know, there's one party that believes in that. There's different ways of fixing financial problems that they believe will work on one side and they're absolutely opposed to on the other side. What I'm saying is it's very important how you look at truth. Amen? What you believe is right. And, of course, the greatest filter we know of is God's Word and Jesus and what He said about our lives. We should filter things through that. You know, a carpenter is real simple. A carpenter pretty well sees everything, has a problem of seeing everything like every problem like a nail. And the bigger the problem, the bigger the hammer. Because he's a carpenter, he sees everything like a carpenter does, and so he kind of perceives everything that way. Sometimes we can be that way. Maybe we were raised a certain way, told certain things all of our life about this or that, and so we filter everything through that. I'm saying we ought to check our filters. Amen? To where we can begin to judge righteously and take truth, real truth, without all the other junk, filter out the junk, and let's just get down to the truth of the matter here. What is the truth about you? What is the truth about your situation? Well, God's Word will filter out all the junk, all the lies, all the deception, all the thing the devil's trying to tell you, and get down to a nitty-gritty of what God is trying to tell us and what God wants for our lives. I'm telling you, we've been lied to. Been bamboozled. We've been run over. We've been drugged through the street. We have been. The devil has lied to us about so many things in the Scripture, about our future, about our ability to pray, about our authority. We've been teaching on authority here for the last few weeks. But the Bible filters all that junk out. And we look at it through the lens, you know, of the Word of God. We begin to see. So, you know, education should have something to do with not just learning facts, but learning how to come to a truth, how to think. Martin Luther King said that, actually. He said education should involve learning how to critically think. And see, that's what we should do in church. That's what we should do with the Bible. I'm not just learning, getting information when I'm reading the Bible. I'm learning how to think. Isn't that right? Because my whole process is all messed up without God, before I knew God, before I got in the Word. Now I get in the Word and I find out how to think. I see people differently through the Bible. I see potential. I see value. I see forgiveness, repentance, restoration, all those things that before we just wrote people off. Well, you know, you got to quit writing people off. Thank God they didn't write you off. Yeah. Amen. Just see people according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. Aren't you glad God sees what we can be, not what we are?
Yes.
In the natural? I mean, He sees beyond all that junk because He's got the right filter. Yeah. Hallelujah. What Jesus said and did. Turn to Romans again. This is good. Y'all catching any of this? It's helping you? In Romans, the 4th chapter. Man, don't you love Romans? In Romans chapter 4, here's an example of someone having to change their thinking. And you know the story of Abraham. God had to change Abraham's name in order for him to get this thing straight. We often talk about Abraham believing God for 25 years. He was 75 when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, the Chaldean Empire, which is present-day Iraq, incidentally. Southern Iraq is where Ur is. They've actually found that place. They dug it up, and they found these holy shrines and temples they called ziggurats in the city of Ur. They've actually discovered that exact city. They know where it is. So that's interesting. The Bible said it was there. Of course, we always knew it was there. It's kind of neat when the archaeologists finally get right, you know, and accept the Bible. And you know, I know archaeology, some of them are right because of the Bible. I know some of them are wrong because of the Bible. I don't know the Bible's right because of archaeology.
Amen.
Hello. My filter's not science. If physics. Hello. And it's just the other way around. I mean, that's how I know what's right, because the Bible says so. And then they'll just have to keep working until they get it straight. I know what history is right because I know what the Bible says. See, that's my filter. Let's turn the filter. We're trying to filter the Bible through history and filter the Bible through archaeology and trying to filter the Bible through science and through Darwinism and evolution, all these things. Well, why don't you flip that? Come on, why don't you filter all that stuff through the Bible? Oh, well, you're just being primitive and hard-headed. No, not necessarily. The Bible's been proved over and over and over and over and over if you want to go that route. I mean, it's not a book that has been disproved over and over. It is a book that is constantly being proved year by year by year. They find out they were wrong about that theory. And they find out they were wrong about that. You know, historians have written things, and archaeologists have made statements that they had to discount and recant, because they discovered what the Bible said was true. Hello. Been nice they just used the filter of the Bible to start with. Amen. Well, God told Abraham, he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. That's how I got off on that archaeological dig we went on for a few minutes there. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. I don't know if it was a place where people stuttered or what. I lost that one on you. But anyway, they finally came on into the Canaan land. He was 75, and God promised him all these things in Genesis 12 chapter where all that took place. And we often talk about, well, he had Isaac, the son of promise, at 100. He had to believe God for 25 years. Well, actually, he didn't have to believe God for 25 years. And actually, I don't think he believed God for 25 years. In fact, it was like 9 months before he had Isaac that God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And Abram up to that point had already had Ishmael, and he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God says, no, that's not what I promised you. That's not what I said. You're going to have a child through Sarah. And Sarah was, 90. Abraham was 100. He was 99 and she was 89 at this time when he visited him, and she laughed, and that's why they call him Isaac, which means laughter. Shall I give birth to a son at my old age? So she wasn't just exactly in faith, but they got in faith when God caused Abraham to see himself differently than he had seen himself before. When he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. I love that. And so Abraham would meet people and he'd say, hello, I'm Abraham, father of many nations. He's 99 years old and they're thinking, yeah, I don't know about this guy. But see, it didn't matter what they thought. What matters is what he thought. It didn't matter what they said. What matters is what he said about himself. And until God got him to saying something different about himself and seeing himself differently according to the promise instead of according to the flesh, until he got to that point where he perceived this differently and judged this righteously and saw this according to the Word, until he got to that point, he didn't have Isaac. But when he got to that point, the promise of God came to pass for him. I think that holds us back in many cases. God's Word's true, no question. But we don't see ourselves there yet. We're not there yet. We're still looking according to flesh. We're looking at ourselves according to the flesh. And we are, something according to the flesh. Jesus was of the lineage of David according to the flesh. But he was the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So I may be Michael Williams and white, male, of a certain age, according to the flesh. But the Bible says that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You might go a little further. There's neither old nor young. There's neither black nor white or Hispanic or Asian. There is no such distinction in God. Those things are all according to the flesh. There is no rich and poor. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, if we believe in Jesus Christ. I always hate that distinction. For clarity's sake, and so we know what we're talking about, we often say things like a black church and a white church. There's no such thing as a black church and a white church. It's just the church. Are you with me? Where a lot of black people go or where a lot of white people go, and really that shouldn't be. We ought to all be going together. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Because there is, see, that's a distinction we make in the flesh. It's not supposed to be there. Well, you know, all the rich people go over there. All the poor people go over here. Hello. Oh, we can just go. We can make that list endless. We can make the church such a distinctive thing that it doesn't include everybody, that it's a certain type of people that go there. Hello. Well, we're targeting people from 20 to 40. We're targeting that age group. We're trying to get that. What? Hello. I understand that you hit the majority as best you can, but you want to be able to minister to everybody. Hello. Are you out there?
Yeah.
I thought about just having a blonde-headed church until my head turned gray, and then we'd have to change to a gray-headed church, and then that wouldn't be right. I mean, hello. Now I'm not getting on my horse and riding something here. I'm just telling you that we make distinctions that God doesn't make. We make judgments that God doesn't make, and we look at the flesh, and we shouldn't. Well, I don't have that kind of education. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You can believe God. Well, you see, my daddy or my mama, or you know where I was raised. Well, I'm from the South. Well, I'm from the North. Well, what in the world has that got to do with anything? We don't know anybody according to flesh. Amen? So here's Abraham. Y'all still with me? In the 17th verse, the 4th chapter of Romans says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they be, or as though they exist." He calls the things that be not as though they were. I love that. God doesn't care what it looks like. He doesn't pay attention to what it looks like. In fact, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said," woo, sure is dark out here. Didn't say that, did he? It says, "And God said, let there be light." Because it didn't matter what it looked like. God was concerned about what he wanted to accomplish and bring to pass. He wasn't concerned about what things look like. Well, we are, in many cases, concerned about what they look like. We're concerned how they feel. We're concerned about what people say. We're concerned about all these things. And we're just got that filter. Got that filter. We've got to filter it through our friends. We've got to filter it through our relatives. Hello? Filter it through our peers. Well, we need to be filtering it through the Word. Wow, that changes everything, doesn't it? That makes it all new. That's like being a new creature in Christ and not judging anything according to flesh anymore. That's like not looking at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Woo! That's a whole new way of looking. And maybe there's some things we do need to see and understand in the natural, but you know, just like I said earlier, that the sun lightens up the things of the day, but until the sun goes down, the night comes, you can't see the stars. So although the sun has its place, it all actually hides and many times filters out the heavenly and the divine. So we need natural knowledge, but we need supernatural knowledge. We need spiritual information, spiritual knowledge. Natural knowledge may have its place, but only in three-dimensional space. Amen? Woo, okay. So he called him something that he was not in the natural. He said something about him that you'd never picked up by looking at him, if you judged according to the flesh. "I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things to be not as though they were." And then it says concerning Abraham, who contrary to hope, or against all hope, in a hopeless situation, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. King James says, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. If you want to become that which is spoken, then you're going to have to put your faith in what is spoken. And you're going to have to filter everything through what is spoken. if you want to become what is spoken. You have to, against hope, believe in hope. Amen? Because God says some things. He says a lot of things about you. He says you can make it. He says you can have peace. He says you have a good life. He says you can have a great marriage. He says you can go to heaven. He says there is a heaven. We just keep going with that. You know, some people don't believe in heaven. Some people don't believe you can go there. Some people you don't have any hope in life. That you can't make it in life. That you're not important. You can't. The system's against you. The cards stacked against you, as it were. We live in a system here, and this system is against you. Why is that? Why do I have to go by the system? Why can't I believe God? Why can't I trust God? Why can't I become what has been spoken about me? Well, I believe you can become what has been spoken about you. But you're going to have to shift your emphasis. You're going to have to change the filter that you hear things through. Isn't that right? We're just talking a little maintenance here. We just need to change our filters. And in time, filters get clogged up. Contrary to hope, believed in hope so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your seed or descendants be. Man, I want to be according to what is spoken, not according to what I see in the mirror. I want to be according to what is spoken in God's word, not according to what the newspaper says. I want to become what God says about me, not what the world says about me. But I'm going to have to change my perception. I'm going to have to change my spectacles. I'm going to have to get these world-colored glasses off. Not rose color. These world-colored glasses off. Get these God-colored glasses on.
Yeah. Amen.
Start seeing things through God's eyes. Amen. So, truth, facts. Okay, I understand facts, truth, all that. But I tell you, the way you perceive, the way you understand, the way you come to truth is vitally important. Is the way you discern, the way you judge. Do you judge things according to the Scripture? Do you have a promise on that prophecy you just gave about yourself? Because we're prophesying all the time about ourselves. I'm not going to make it, I am going to make it. I'm going to lose everything, I'm going to get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Hello? So you're always prophesying. Everybody's always prophesying. We're asking what you base that prophecy on. And whose prophet are you? Are you God's prophet?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. This is getting good, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So he says, who contrary to hope, in hope believe that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body according to the flesh. According to the flesh, Jesus was the line of David, according to the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. While we look not at the things which are seen. Y'all see that? So he says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Wow. Don't consider the natural. Don't consider the feelings that you feel. Don't consider the news, in many cases. Sometimes you just got to not consider the news. I understand there is news, and I watch news too. But I'll tell you what, I filter a lot of that stuff I hear. I filter all that stuff I hear. Hello. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. And some of it's true, and some of it's half true, and some of it's just flat lies.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to think critically, and think righteously, and think rightly. And it says he did not waver. Well, let's back up. Being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, nor, since he's about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 99. Well, see, no, she was 89. He was 99. When Isaac was born, he was 100. Abraham was 100. And Sarah was 90. Most people don't have children that age. Hello? Do you know what's amazing? After Sarah died, he was 127, I think, when Sarah died. He had several more children. He married a woman named Keturah and had children by her. And he had another wife, Mary, had children by her. It's in the Bible. Go read it. Man, he got in faith. Changed his whole perspective. Really, he saw himself totally different. Because this wasn't an option when he was 99. Now he's still having children at 127 years old. And he lived to be 180. Wow. So he real faith does not consider. See, faith is filtering things. That's what faith is. Faith is filtering information. Faith is rejecting, stopping certain pollutants and harmful things and not letting them get through. And faith is centering in on and allowing to come through things that help, things that are in line with the Word, things that are in line with Jesus, what God says, what His will is. What is God's will? Well, we need to define that. We need to define what His will is through His Word. And then when a statement's made contrary to His will, contrary to what He desires, contrary to His promise, then we need to stop that. We need to filter that. Not say that. Amen? Not pray that. Not think that. Not act that. Don't act on that. We need to filter. We need to guard on our lips and our actions and our words and our deeds. We need to guard what comes in and we need to guard what goes out. We need to filter of things that come in. We hear and see associations and so on and so forth, harmful things to shut them out. But we also need a filter of what we let loose in the world. Isn't that right? Filter our word. Don't say those things. Don't do those things. Filter that. When that thought comes, whoa, filter that. Through the Word. So Abraham here, his legacy to success, as it were, to achieving God's will in his life, to being used by God, had to do with the filter he used. And it's very significant, I think, that it wasn't until he saw himself differently, until God changed his name, he really didn't get in faith. Oh, he went to the land of Canaan, yes, he did do that, but he'd given up on the son thing. You go back and read some of those conversations he had with God after Ishmael was born. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Ishmael, when he messed up and had Ishmael, and Ishmael, of course, from that came the whole Arab races and nations. When he had Ishmael, he was 86 years old. It says Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. In the very next chapter, the very next verse says, and when Abram was 99, the Lord visited him. That always stuck out to me. I always thought, for all intent and purposes, what the Word says, God didn't speak to Abraham for 13 more years. That's what it appears. It's like that so disappointed God and grieved God, he didn't visit Abraham. There's no account of him visiting him for 13 more years. He's 86, and the next thing happens, just verse 2 later, next chapter, it says, Abraham was 99 and God visited. I don't want to make God mad and not speak to me for 13 years. I'm not saying that'll happen, I just thought that's pretty significant that there's a big gap there between him. He wasn't in faith, he wasn't just believing. In fact, God had to shock him into faith. He needed a Holy Ghost jolt. God come down with battery cables and hooked them onto his ears. And jump started him at 99 and said, here's what we're going to do, boy. I'm calling you something else, all right? You're no longer Abram. You're Abraham. And then within a year later, Isaac was born. But it was perception. It was how he saw himself. See, he saw himself in the flesh, but at this point, he saw himself according to what was written. And against hope, he believed in hope. See, he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, but this is when she was 89 now, and he was 99. This wasn't when he promised him this back when he was 75 and she was 65. This is 24 years later. And then it was 25 years later when Isaac was born. But I believe he got in faith that last year. And he got in faith when he began to filter his thinking. And he did it with the Word. He did it with the promise. He believed in the promise and he became what God promised. And he did not consider the natural or the body or the flesh, according to the flesh, him or her. And he did not waver, 20th verse, at the promise of God, stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Think about that. Wavering in James, the first chapter, talks about a man that wavers. He's like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. That word waver there is the same word in the Greek translated stagger here. Sometimes we stagger at the promise. Hello. Somebody says we can make it. We go, me? You can get out of this. I can? And we back up and we just have a hard time seeing it because we've been immersed in doubt and unbelief. We've been immersed in the natural. We know all the doctor's reports. We know all the financial reports. We've been around a long time. Goodness gracious, we know more than God does, surely. And then God comes along and says, you can make it, and we stagger at it. But we shouldn't stagger. If we're strong in faith and we got the right filter on, we'll rejoice, hallelujah. We won't stagger. We'll be strong in faith. It says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I like that, strong in faith, strengthened in faith. You know, if you feel a little weak, start giving God glory for the answer, and your faith will be strengthened. I like that. Because you can strengthen your faith by glorifying God. Strengthen your faith by saying what God says, by thanking God for the answer and thanking him for the promise. And, you know, when you're feeling a little down, when you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. Yeah. Don't pet that devil. Are you out there? Yes. You know what a pity party is? A pity party is when two people show up, you and the devil. And you just pet that thing. You pet that thing. You're feeling down. So you just close all the doors and you unplug the phones and you put your blues music on. Hello. And you pet that devil. Don't do that. And you start breathing like this. Just so tired. You got to say, no, you don't, you lying devil. No, no, no. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. God's for me, not against me. I can make it. I got a reason and a right and a purpose in this life. Hello. It's a fight, but hey. Change your filter. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded or convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Man, that separates a lot of people in church. You know that? Because I think all church people believe God's able. You know? They think he's able, but they don't think he's going to perform it. That what he promised, he will perform it. They think he can, but you know they don't believe he will. That separates a lot of church people. I know what God said. I know he can. Oh, I believe in miracles. But what they don't say is, I just don't believe I can give them. But that is what they're saying. Oh, I believe in healing. But what they're not saying, leaving unsaid, is, but I just don't believe I can be healed. Or I believe in peace. I believe in joy. I believe in comfort. I believe in strength. I believe in all that, but I just don't. I don't think I can get it. See, I'm a special case. God's never run across anybody like me. My problems are bigger than anything God has ever come across. Maybe for y'all, but not for me. Because see, God, he's just not that big. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. All I can say is you need to change your filter. Are you with me? Because you've let some pretty harmful stuff get in. You've let some pollutants get in your mind and your thinking. And you need to clean house here and change the filter. Because your judgment's off. You're not judging righteously. You're seeing according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. You seem to be up on who you are in the natural, but you don't have a clue who you are in the Spirit. Listen, we need to find out who we are in the Spirit. We need to find out what God says about us. What does God say about International Outreach Church? What does he say about church? What does he say it should be? You know, I never will forget Brother Osteen in the middle of it. I'm telling you, one of the biggest depressions ever hit Houston. And it's just a matter of history. I mean, their oil companies were leaving. It was just a mess. They're just, you know, we talk about a crisis now, but there's been other crises in this country. We've had other down times. Are you with me? You know, there was a thing called the Great Depression one time. We had stock market crashes. We've had them over and over and over. I mean, it's nothing new. But Brother Osteen decided to build an 8,200-seat auditorium and pay cash, several million dollars, in the middle of it. And he said, you know, it was the craziest time to ever do anything. Like, no one had any money. People were bailing out of Houston. People were leaving. It's all in the paper. People were leaving Houston. I mean, jobs are hard to find. And yet God spoke to him. And he paid cash on that. Built that big facility. And then not many years later, built another $6-7 million facility for educational offices and so on and so forth. And then Joe, goodness gracious, Joe went over and bought the Compaq Center, actually rented the Compaq Center on a 90-year lease from the city of Houston. I believe that was a 90-year lease. I believe he paid $70 million for it on a lease. And people said, that is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Doesn't even own a thing. Using God's money to lease something like that, that's just crazy. So what he did, he paid it all up front. He paid it over a few years. He paid the whole lease up. And so they had about another 80 years left on the lease, and they had no money coming in. And he went to him and he says, tell you what, we'll buy it from you for about $8 million.
So they said, okay.
They said, okay. They had no money coming in. They got 80 years of no money coming in. Wasn't so dumb after all, was it? Is that the wildest thing? Listen, I was one of those that was criticizing him when he did it. I thought, that's crazy. What is he doing leasing that thing for 90 years? That's terrible. Brother Osteen would have never done that. I mean, that's, but see, he had another plan. He had, evidently, God was speaking to him. And so that he did everything he could get that. He wouldn't just pay what he's supposed to pay every year. He'd pay it up, pay it up, pay it up. Finally, he just paid it off, the whole lease. And so now they're sitting there with no money coming in for all these years. And he said, tell you what I'll do. I'll just give you, you know. I think I got those figures right. I may have gotten a little off. But anyway, he got it. He paid for it. It's theirs. That was an amazing thing. But you know what? He didn't care what it looked like in the natural. See, Brother Osteen didn't. And Joe picked that up from his daddy for sure. Saw that life lived. And figured if God said do it, we can just do it. Doesn't matter what the cost is, or doesn't matter the price tag. Doesn't matter the economy. Doesn't matter what people say. All that matters is what God says. That's the way I want to think. How about you? That's the way I want to filter my information. That's the way I want to live. Hallelujah. That's the way I want to talk. That's what I want to prophesy and I want to say. Hallelujah. About my life, my family, and this church. Hallelujah. What God says, what God promises. It doesn't matter about the economy. What matters about God's economy? Amen. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. Thank God for the doctors. We pray for them. We thank God for them. But you can be healed. You can be healed. And we'll pray for the surgeon. We'll pray for the doctor. But don't you give up hope. Don't you give up hope. Don't you give up on the promise. Amen.